Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
And in the week before, we've been preaching on Rise Up and Build. This is the last week for that. Next week, we'll do a standalone message about dedication. But the first week when we talked about Rise Up and Build, we talked about the altar. And we said that in the Bible, they would always build altars. They built altars as a place of prayer and a place of worship. And in the altar, we said, did different things. Like the first week, we talked about the altar of encounter, that whenever people built altars as a place of prayer and worship, that's where they encountered God. That's where God showed up to meet with them. And we said that we need to all be creating an altar of encounter in our homes, in our workplaces, on the road, wherever we are. We need to create that altar of encounter. And then last week we talked about another aspect of prayer and worship is the idea of conflict and confrontation, that we all have enemies against us. We all have an enemy against us, and it's not always the person you think it is, right? There's always a spirit behind that. And so the altar is a place, that place of prayer and worship is a place where we confront the spiritual enemies of our souls. And so last week we talked about how to fight in the spirit. And today we want to talk about the altar of sacrifice. And just the main point before we even get into the message today, to go ahead and spoil the end, the main point of the message today is this, that you got to be willing to give up what is good in order to get what is great. You got to be willing to give up what is good in order to get what is great. God is calling us to a place of sacrifice. He is calling us to a place of sacrifice. And sacrifice, what is a sacrifice? Sacrifice is something that you have to give up. You have to kill. You have to burn. You have to totally take your hands off of. And there's going to be some things throughout this message today where God's going to be speaking to you and speaking to me about some aspects of our life that might need to be sacrificed. And not because God hates us, and not because God's mad at us, and not because God wants to ruin our lives, but He wants us to live a life of sacrifice because He wants us to have the very best part of His plan. But the problem is we hold on to the good and the okay because it's nice and it's comfortable and it's easy. And God says, I want you to learn to let go of the good and the okay in order to get what is great. And so today we're going to talk about the altar of sacrifice. Before we get into Genesis 22, let me set up the story. This is about Abraham, right? And so Abraham is this guy in the Bible who followed God's voice. He followed God's leading over and over again. And one day God comes to Abraham and God says, Abraham, I know you're super old, but I'm going to give you a kid. And not only am I going to give you a kid, I'm going to give you descendants. I'm going to make you the father of nations. He tells Abraham, look at the stars and try to count them. And Abraham's going, 1, 2, 3. He's from Alabama. He takes his shoes off. He's 19, 20. You know, like, so that's as far as I go, God. And so God says, you can't even count the number of descendants I'm going to give you. It's like the stars in the heavens. He says, I'm going to give you so many descendants. And he says, not only am I going to do that, I'm going to give you descendants through your wife, Sarah. And the Bible says that Abraham laughs at God. Have you ever been told something by God that you just laughed at? Right? That you said, yeah, right. You know, he says, you don't understand, God. I'm old. I'm super old. But my wife is really old, too. FYI, fellas, don't ever say that about your wife. My wife is super old. And even Sarah laughs about it. And God says, I don't care what you're laughing about. I'm still going to bring you a descendants. I'm going to make you the father of nations. I'll make her the mother of nations. And so eventually God says, and it's going to come through this boy named Isaac, and he's going to be your child. And so lo and behold, they end up having a baby named Isaac. And if the Bible says in Genesis 22, this is what we're going to pick up today. The Bible says in Genesis 22 that sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. Now, right off the bat, this feels very out of character for God. He pumps Abraham up and says, you're going to be the father of nations. You're going to have a kid when you're old. The kid's name is going to be Isaac. And then it says sometime later. Now, some scholars believe Isaac could have been anywhere between 20 and 30, maybe even 35 years old at this point. So this is some, when it says sometime later, it's not talking about like the next week. He's not taking little baby Isaac with him, right? He's taking grown man Isaac up to sacrifice him. And the Bible says, so sometime later, so Abraham has had a chance to watch this boy grow up. He's had a chance to nurture this boy, to father this boy. He's had a chance to really make this boy into a man. And he can see the promise inside of him. And God says, now I want you to go kill the promise. Something I want to mention to you today that's going to make sense throughout this message is this. With God, there's always a promise. There's always a plan. And there's always a precious. There's always a promise. God told Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. And God has told you that you're going to do something. There's plenty of people sitting in this room right now. You may say, well, I'm not called by God because I'm not going to be a preacher. I'm not going to be a missionary. I'm not going to be a worship leader. God's calling has nothing to do with what you do inside the church. It has to do with what He's called you to do. He may have called you to be a banker, but He's called you to be a banker so that you can be a blessing to somebody, so you can reach somebody for Christ. But God has always got a promise for you. There's some of you, you've been living many, many years with your kids aren't saved, but you know God gave you a promise that your kids are going to give their hearts to Christ. There's some of you that God has promised you that you're going to have a kid, and you're looking at your own self, and you're saying, there's no way I can have a kid. Look at what's happened in my life. But God has promised you something, and there's always a promise with God. There's always a plan with God. The Bible says that God told Abraham, Sarah will bear a son. Sarah will bear a son. My kids last night, we were reading the Bible, and when we were reading the Bible, we were talking, I don't know what story we were reading, John the Baptist being born. The Bible says that God, the angel told John's dad, he said, your wife will bear a son, and my youngest son looked at me and said, Dad, what does that mean? Bear a son? And I can see his wheels turning. He's thinking, she's going to give birth to a bear. And he's already thinking, this is the coolest story I've ever heard in my life. Sarah is the plan, and then the precious is Isaac. The Bible says his name will be Isaac. How many of you ever watched Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit? Don't watch The Hobbit, it's not that good. Have you read The Hobbit? Reading it's way better. Read The Hobbit, and you remember Gollum in The Hobbit, and what does Gollum have? He's got the ring, and what does he call it? My precious, right? It means a lot to him. And so we're going to get into that in just a few minutes. So the first thing today that I want to talk about is the fact that we've got to follow God's plan. If God always has a plan, then we need to follow God's plan. I know that seems simple, but we don't always do it. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. See, the Bible says that Sarah couldn't follow God's plan. Now, we hear all this stuff about Sarah being the mother of nations and Abraham being the father of faith and all this kind of great stuff that you hear about these guys later on. But whenever you look at their lives in the moment, they struggle just like a lot of us, just like I struggle a lot of times. I don't know about you, but sometimes whenever someone gives me a plan and I'm in the middle of that plan, it's hard for me to fill out that plan. I want to do things my way because I see a better way. Right? It's kind of like whenever, this is probably only for men, I know women don't do this, but whenever a man buys something at the store that he has to put together, what do we do, men? Do we ever get out the instructions and read them thoroughly and then put it together according to the plan? No. You wouldn't be a man if you did that. We get it all out and start putting it together and then go back later and read the instructions. So the other day we're in here working and we're trying to put a door in the kids' area. So I tell Pastor Jonathan, I said, we're going to buy an exterior door because it's tougher and we want to protect our kids more. So we buy this exterior door and it's already got a frame with it and a threshold with it. And I said, all we got to do is just screw it into the framework. That's it. Just put it up. So we get in there and I pull out the instructions and I read the first instruction and I got bored and put it down. And I said, let's just throw this thing up there. And he was like, okay, let's do it. So we did, and it was crooked, and it wouldn't close, and when you stepped on it, it creaked and moved. So I had to get someone else to come in Jeremy to come in, Leah's husband, who sang today. I had to get him to come in. And I said, Jeremy, you got to help me fix this door, man. I said, I tried to put it together and I couldn't fix it. And Jeremy said, okay, where's the instructions? And he grabbed those instructions. He's like, let's put those over there. And Jeremy just begins. And finally, we made it work somehow. I think it works. But that's just how a man is. Sarah had the same problem. In Genesis chapter 16, verse 1, it says, now Sarai, she had her name changed later. So did Abraham, for that matter. Abram's wife had not been able to bear children for him. Now look, right off the bat, God gives them a promise. And look what happens. I'm giving you a promise that you're going to get a better job. I'm giving you a promise that you're going to move to the city you're supposed to move to. I'm giving you a promise that he will finally get down on his knee and ask you to marry him, right? Whatever the case is, I'm giving you a promise. But it says that Sarah hasn't been able to have a child. So sometimes what happens is just because God gives us a promise, we don't always see it fulfilled right away. And what do? We get impatient. So the Bible says that Sarah couldn't bear a child, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarah said to Abraham, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And Abram reluctantly agreed with Sarah's proposal. This is going to be one of the funniest stories. It's going to mean a lot in just a second. But it really is funny to me. That Sarah says, look, I can't have kids. Why don't you go sleep with my servant? Abraham's like, okay, you know, if you say so. Verse 4. So Abram had sexual relations with Hagar. And what happened? She became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress, Sarah, with contempt. That word contempt there means to be despised or cursed. When we try to take matters into our own hands and we try to step outside of God's plan and try to fix everything and do everything within our plan, we get cursed. We're going to live with a curse instead of a blessing. This is the funny part to me, verse 5. I didn't have to read this part, but I just think it's funny. Then Sarah said to Abram, this is all your fault. What? It is not his fault, right? Sarah's the one that came up with the idea. Look, this is your fault. I put my servant into your arms, and now she's pregnant and treats me with contempt. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me. Abram replied, look, I like that. Yeah, I can tell Abraham's from the south. Look now, look. She's your servant, so you deal with her as you see fit. Here's the problem. What we do sometimes is we try to take it on ourselves. We try to step outside of God's plan because we get impatient. God says, I'm going to provide for you. God says, I'm going to do this for you. God says, I'm going to open up this door for you. But when the door doesn't open right away, we try to kick it down. When the door doesn't open right away, we try to go in through a window somewhere. We try to figure out a way and conceive a way. And the problem with that is eventually that plan is going to backfire on us and it will curse us. I heard someone say a long time ago, the reason we tithe is because we would rather live with 90% blessed than 100% cursed, right? And so there's this idea of this plan that God has for us, and we've got to be willing to follow the plan, even if it takes longer than we want it to take. The second thing we got to do is learn to embrace the promise. Embrace the promise. Hebrews chapter 11 says this in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God would even raise him from the dead. In so a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the death. The Bible says this, that word embrace means to fill something to its maximum limit. To embrace means to fill something to its maximum limit. We've got an iron at the house. And it's kind of this old school looking iron and you put water in the top of it. But it's not even one of these cool irons like where you have a little flip lid and pour the water in and close the lid. Mine's just got a hole in the top of it and you put water in there. And there's a little meter on the side that says max level, right? It's got max level. And so you've got to pour it in there and you've got to watch that little meter and see if the bubble gets to max level and then you stop pouring. Well, one day it was already full past max level and I didn't realize it. So when I look, I don't see the bubble. So what do? I keep pouring water and I keep pouring water and I keep pouring water. And I'm thinking, this thing is crazy. Something's wrong with this. So I'm going to go ahead and just iron my clothes. So whenever I tilted it over to iron my clothes, guess what happens? Water just starts gushing out of it everywhere. And then I get mad and throw it away and go buy another one just like it and do the same thing. It had nothing to do with the iron. It had everything to do with me. Right? I had something full to the max level and then it started overflowing. So the Bible says this. It says that Abraham embraced the promises. In other words, he filled himself up to the with the promises so much so that it overflowed into every aspect of his life. What does it mean to embrace the promise? It means that I've got to build my life on the promises of God, not on my feelings. I've got to build my life, my words, my actions, my thoughts on the promises that God gave me, not on the circumstances that I find myself in. There's been plenty of times that God has made a promise to me, and then it doesn't look like that promise is going to be fulfilled. Sarah had a problem. She wasn't building her life on the promises. She was building her life on what she was seeing, not what God was saying. If she would have built her life on what she was seeing, I mean, on what God was saying, then she never would have given Hagar to Abraham. She would have said, let's just keep trying. Let's keep trying. We know Abraham, he would have said, okay, you know, like we know how he is. And so there's this idea here that sometimes we forget. And we start thinking, I've got to build my life around how I feel today or what's going on in my life. Or how much money is in my bank account, or how many people are showing up at my group, or we build our life on this stuff instead of on the promise of God. Abraham's words and actions were driven by that promise. Look at Genesis chapter 22, verse 3. So he's taking his son Isaac to go kill him on the mountain. It says, the next morning Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire and burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Here's what's happening. Abraham begins to build his life on the promise. And because his life is built on the promise, then he's willing to follow God's plan, even if it means to kill his son. And so he gets up early. He doesn't procrastinate. You know, sometimes we procrastinate. We try to wait a little bit. Let me just pray about it, Lord. If God tells you something, there's no need to pray about it, right? Like, let me just pray about it. Let me just take a little time. And we begin to procrastinate. But not Abraham. He went out early. He begins to do the work. Verse 5, check this out. Check out his words and his attitude here. It says, Abraham's talking to his servants. It says, stay here with the donkey, Abraham told his servants. The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there. And then we will be right back. Abraham is told to kill his son. And I believe he's got every intention to kill his son, but because his life is built on the promises, not on the circumstances, he says, I'm going to go up there, and either God is going to provide something else for me to kill, or God's going to raise this boy from the dead. But either way, I know the promise is that Isaac is going to have babies. And so when I go up there, I will come back with him. And so we got to build our life on the promises. The third thing is this. We got to release the precious. Release the precious. Sacrifice requires action. Sacrifice does not require just your faith alone. Sacrifice does not require just your thoughts and good intentions. Sacrifice requires action. And we've got to be willing to release the precious. In the story of the Hobbit, Gollum had the ring, the one ring to rule them all. When I put the ring on my wife's finger when we got married, she said that very same thing. The one ring to rule them all. And so whenever Gollum had the ring, the story goes that it poisoned him. The story goes that it changed him because he held on to it so much and he would not let it go that it poisoned his brain and it poisoned his body and it changed who he was. And what happens is sometimes God gives us a promise and he has a plan and he gives us a precious, but the precious is supposed to be a vehicle. It's not the promise itself. It's just a vehicle to get us to the promise. See, Isaac wasn't the descendants. He wasn't the nations. That wouldn't happen for another couple generations. Isaac was just the vehicle to get to the promise. But if Abraham wouldn't have been willing to let go of the precious, to take his hands off what he deemed as his and release it to God, then he never would have gotten the promise. James chapter 2, verse 20 says this, "You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was it not our father Abraham? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone." Sometimes we have to be willing to let go of the precious. You know, that's something I think Perry and I've talked about plenty of times before, is the idea that if God asks us to sell our house, or if God asks us to move to another city, or if God asks us to give away our vehicles, or if God asks us to give away our money, that yes, it would hurt and it would be hard, but it would be one of those things that we would do. You know, we could do it. But Perry's told me before, she said, I think the one thing I would struggle with is if, because we've talked about the story, is if God asked me to give away my children. Like if God asked me to sacrifice my kids, she said, that would be the part that would be a struggle for me. For all of us, there's things like that in our lives, things that we hold on to so tightly. And when we hold on to it so tightly, that's all we can see is the precious. And we begin to serve the precious and not the promise. We begin to build our life on the precious, and the precious will always let us down. I found myself very wrapped up, and this is hard for a pastor not to do, but I found myself very wrapped up in the church. To the point when we started this church, it was like my identity was tied to this church. So if people didn't show up, then that's on me. If people came, then all of a sudden I feel good about myself, and my identity was tied to the precious. And it was one of those things I couldn't see beyond the moment. I couldn't see beyond the service, that I had to make everything right. And what happens is when we're tied to the precious, when we hold on to it so much, then we step outside of God's plan and we begin to try to control God's direction for our life. But we got to be willing to release the precious. When you step up to the altar, and this is where we're going to close today. When you step up to the altar and you begin to sacrifice your precious on the altar, you begin to give up that thing. Here's what happens. The altar will reveal your faith. And faith is trusting when there's no hope. Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 22 says, "Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, 'That's how many descendants you will have.' Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God was able to do whatever he promises, and because of Abraham's faith, God counted it to him as righteousness." See, when God asks you to make a sacrifice, it's going to reveal how much faith you actually have in God. It's going to reveal how much faith you have in God. When God asks you to give up something, there's been plenty of times in my life when God's asked me to give up stuff. I've told some of you these stories before, so they'll be old hat to you, but thankfully we have guests today, so every time a guest shows up, I get to share all my old stories all over again, like they were brand new. But I've told this story before. Whenever I was leaving one city to move to another city, and we didn't know where we were going to get a job or what that job was going to be, and Perry and I just had to learn to let go of some stuff, and it's very interesting that we always talk about me having to leave and taking a pay cut and all that kind of stuff. But Perry had just been offered a job at a very nice school, a place that I would say prestigious, and that's probably not the correct word, but it's a place that's well known. And she had just been offered her dream job is to teach kindergarten at this school. And she had to give up the precious in order to pursue the promise. And what's wonderful about that story is her faith. Her faith never wavered. And it showed how much faith she had. That she said, "I'm going to give up a dream job, but I know God will provide. And we moved to Mobile, and she went on interviews. Now, she could have just sat around and been depressed and been discouraged, but instead she got out, she went on interviews. She's driving all over creation until she found the right school and got the right job, and God blessed her. She was Teacher of the Year at that school. God provided for her. Why? Because the altar of sacrifice reveals your faith. Now, on the flip side of that, that part sounds really good. Like, I'm going to go sacrifice something. I'm going to see how much faith I have. Sometimes we don't want to see how much faith we have. I don't always want to see it. Because sometimes when I look at my faith meter, it can be low at times, right? And then that's discouraging. But you need that. You need those benchmarks. You need those areas of your life. You need times in your life where God's going to call you to sacrifice something, and it may not be anything big. He may be calling you to sacrifice some kind of activity. He may call you to sacrifice TV or internet. He may call you to sacrifice Facebook. He may call you to sacrifice whatever it is. He may ask you to sacrifice that for a season. Why? Just to test your faith. There's some of you, you've come up to me before and you said, "Pastor, I don't understand this whole tithing thing. You talk about tithing, you say the church tithes, but I don't know about tithing." And you know what I tell them? I say, just sacrifice 10% for a season. Just test your faith. Do it for a month, do it for 2 months, do it for 3 months. Just see what God does in your life. Sometimes you need that sacrifice just to test your own faith and see what's revealed. The other thing that the altar reveals is God's character. This is my favorite part of the story. Genesis chapter 29, verses 9 through 14, it shows God's character as a provider. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. And at that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Yes," Abraham replied, "here I am." "Don't lay a hand on the boy," the angel said. "Do not hurt him in any way. For now I know that you truly fear God." His faith was revealed. "You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son." Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by his horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it and burned it as an offering in the place of his son. Verse 14, this is huge. Abraham said, Abraham named the place Yahweh Jireh, or some people say Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. This is so cool. To this day, people still use that as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Listen, when we hold on to that precious, we limit God's ability to provide for us. Abraham would have never had a moment of provision, that moment of meeting God in a place of provision, had he held on to Isaac and not taken him to the sacrifice. There's been plenty of times in my life where I've tried to hold on to what was good and not get what was great. But there's been a few moments when I've learned to let go of what was good. When I was younger, when I was a teenager, and speaking of in a couple of weeks, in September 5th, we're going to start doing our youth small group again, our student small group again. But when I was a teenager, I remember, so when I was growing up, I wasn't like good looking or I didn't have any kind of athletic ability or muscles or any of the stuff that every teenage boy wants. I had none of it, right? I had hair, which every grown man now for me wants, but I didn't have anything else. You know, I didn't have anything else. And so I got made fun of a lot. I got picked on a lot. And I remember coming up and just really struggling with my own self-esteem and with my own identity of just who am I going to be? Because for so long, I just tried to be whoever other people wanted me to be in order to kind of fit in. But I struggled with that. And in doing so, what happened was inevitably, and as a matter of fact, one of the guys in my life that really spoke into my life, he told me one time, he set me down, took me to lunch. He was an adult man, took me to lunch. I'm a teenage boy. He says, "Gabriel, I just want you to know, you're not going to get a girl because of your looks. But you've got a really good personality and you're really funny, so use that." He thought he was complimenting me. He crushed my soul. I left that day not crying because I did have some sliver of manliness in me, but it was crushing, it was defeating, right? And so I remember the first time a girl liked me, and I remember, you know, chasing after girls and just wanting to feel not to have love and not to have not to have just to have a girlfriend, but I wanted that acceptance. I wanted that acceptance. I wanted that status of, hey, this guy might look like a ding-dong over here, but he's at least got a girlfriend. You know, like at least he's got a girlfriend. So something must be going right for him. And I wanted that status. And I remember there was a period in my life that for year after year after year, I always went from girlfriend to girlfriend to girlfriend, always trying to find acceptance. Always trying to find acceptance. That was my goal, was to feel good about myself, right? And I remember after a while just thinking about how many relationships I had been in where I had really hurt someone's feelings or gotten my feelings hurt because I shouldn't have been in those relationships. It's not that they were bad people. It's not that I was bad people. It's just that I was in the relationship for the wrong reason, right? And so I remember when I got into my 20s that I felt like God told me, you need to shut down relationships for a while, for a period of time. And I was actually dating a girl at the time, and she did not understand that, nor did she like that. And so I shut down. I said, look, I'm wiping my hands clean of relationships. I'm really going to focus on myself and focus on God. And you hear that a lot as excuses, but I really meant it. And so I really focused on just loving the Lord and learning how to be friends with girls and not have to be, you know, dating them at the same time. And so I just really focused on that. And it was a year later, after God spoke that to me, a year later, that Perry and I started dating. I gave up what was good in order to get what was great. But I never would have gotten what was great had I just kept going from relationship to relationship to relationship trying to find acceptance. It wasn't until I sacrificed something and allowed God to do a work in my life to where I could get what was great. Last little story. I told you that I held on to the church too long. The church became my precious. When we started this church, it was my precious. I lived and died by the church. It was bad. It was bad because there would be times, there would be Sundays when I didn't feel like I preached very well, or I didn't feel like anybody, you know, showed up at church, or the offering was bad, or no visitors came, or whatever the case was. And it was like it would crush me. So every Sunday I would go home there for a little bit, and Perry would get upset because I would just go home and go like straight to bed, just straight to bed. And it was a struggle, and I was depressed, and I didn't want to admit it, but I was depressed. And I would show up at church, and I would smile, and I would tell jokes, and I would do all the fun stuff that you're supposed to do at church and try to be the person everybody wanted me to be. But on the inside, I was crushed and defeated, and I would go home, and I would struggle. And it wasn't until the day that we brought the elders in. I've told this story before, but it wasn't until the day we brought the elders in and I told them, guys, I'm willing to give up the church. I'm willing to not be the pastor anymore. I'm willing to help you find a good pastor or shut the church down, and I'll just go to a church and just sit. But I feel like, and I told them, I said, I know God's called me to help people be transformed, to help people find Jesus Christ. I know God's called me to that, but that may be the promise, but it may not be for this place in this time. And I held on to the church so much and so tightly that it became a curse to me because it became my plan, not God's plan. And I told those folks that it was like something was broken in my life. That was my moment of letting go at the altar of sacrifice. And you know, from that point forward, we can track back God's blessing after blessing after blessing. Finances started coming in. None of the people changed. We didn't get like a big giver. None of you that were here then, none of you changed. It was all the same people. We didn't grow at all. All the same people, but finances went up. We got a new building. We got a new worship pastor. Like, all of a sudden, things just begin to happen. And it's funny, like, I thought about it later. I thought, if someone were to ever ask me, how did you do this? I honestly would not be able to give them an answer. I can honestly say, I have no idea. I gave up the church. I tried to put it down. I sacrificed it. And God just did everything else. Because if you know me, like, behind the scenes, you know half the time I don't know what I'm doing. Right? It's God. It's God. Why? Because I learned to give something up give up what was good in order to get what was great. For some of you, God may be asking you to sacrifice a ministry or a relationship. He may be asking you today to sacrifice the potential of more money. He may be asking you to sacrifice something today. Maybe he's asking you to sacrifice some time. Maybe you've got an addiction today and you don't feel like it's that big of a deal, but God's going to ask you to sacrifice that addiction. Maybe, oh yeah, but my addiction's not going to send me to hell, but maybe God wants you to sacrifice it just to see what He's going to do in your life. I don't know what your Isaac is today, but why don't you stand up with me? We need to all find our Isaac today. So I'm going to pray. We've got a few minutes. I'm going to pray over you, and then we've got people down here at the front. And what I'm going to ask you to do in just a few minutes is I want you to bring your Isaac down to the altar of sacrifice. Now, this isn't a real altar. This is a stage, right? Concrete floor. Nothing special about it. But there is something special about obedience. There is something special about getting the wood and getting the boy and getting the fire and getting the knife and saddling the donkey. There's something special about going to the mountain, right? And so what we want to do today is we want to take an opportunity to lay down, to sacrifice whatever that Isaac is in your life. Whatever it is that's good, but it's keeping you from what's great. So I'm going to pray for you right now. Lord, I love you and I thank you for everybody in this room. And I just ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak to our hearts right now. You know that there's an Isaac in our lives. You know I've got one. You know everybody in this room has something. We've got those things, those precious in our life that we want to hold on to so bad. But God, I pray today that we would be willing to let everything go, that we'd be willing to come to the altar of sacrifice and let everything go so that we can release what is good to you so that we can get what is great from you. God, some of us have followed our own plan and it never did work out for us. All it did was curse us, not bless us. So God, today we want you more than we want anything else. We want to build our life and live our life on the promises that you've given us. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second, let me tell you about one of the promises God has for you. He's got a promise for you of eternal salvation. He's got a promise for you of heaven after earth, of spending eternity with Him. That's a promise for you. But just like He told Abraham, He said, Abraham, I've got all these promises. You're going to be the father of many nations, but I'm going to require you to make a covenant with me. I'm going to require you and your descendants to walk in covenant relationship with me. Jesus sacrificed what was good for what was great. His life was good, but He gave it up for what was greater, and that's all of our lives. He died on the cross so that you and I could live for Him. And there may be some of you in the room today, you're saying, Gabriel, I'm not really serving God today. Yeah, I put on a smile. I put on my Sunday clothes and I show up at church. But I'm not really serving God. And I need to give my heart to Him. I need to sacrifice what is good today. And what is good might just be my Sunday ritual, my Christian religion, for what is great. And that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you this morning, I want you just to slip your hand up. You can put it right back down. I just need to see if there's anybody I need to pray with about that today. Okay. Let me pray for you this morning. If you raised your hand today, matter of fact, everybody, let's just pray this together. Say, Lord Jesus, I sacrifice my life, my desires, my wants, my dreams, for your plan and your promise. I give you all that I have today. And I believe in your sacrifice for my sins. I thank you for eternal life. I believe in you today. And I receive you today as my Lord and Savior. Now today, if you've got an Isaac in your life, here's what I want you to do. We're going to sing one more song. As we sing this song, I want you to slip out of your seats. There's some prayer team people down here. If you need one of them to pray with you, please go to them. Let them pray with you. But maybe you just say, I just need to go down and release some stuff. I just need to release some stuff. And if that's you today, here's what I want you to do. It's so simple. It's not magic. It's just one of those symbolism things, just something to help trigger in your brain. I want you to hold in your hand that thing that you feel like is an Isaac. Whatever it is, hold it in your hand. Pretend like it's there. And then I want you to get out of your seat and I want you to come down to the front. And if you need someone to pray, they'll pray. But if you don't, if you're just saying, I just need to go spend some time at the altar of sacrifice with my God, then I want you to come down to the front and just lift up your hands or hold your hands out. And when you're ready to release it, just let it go. Just let it go and feel the peace that God gives you. Stop holding on so tight and just come down and let it go. Let's do that right now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.